I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a
soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
We serve the Blessed Virgin Mary, a 12-star general, pray the Holy Rosary, and read the Holy Bible every day. Why? By doing so, you soak your sword in the blood of demons. Let's unite our prayers every day to the heel of our Blessed Mother. Let's unite our prayers every day to the sword of St. Michael and deliver powerful blows to the kingdom of darkness and send these fallen angels back to hell. Terry, I'm on duty. What about you?
I'm on duty too, Jess, and I'm glad to be on duty. I got some inspiration here today. We are going to cover a wonderful priest in your Diocese of Phoenix, a homily by Father Billy Costco. It's gone viral. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people have seen it now, and I saw it last week, and I said, we got to play this. This is a priest who has a special message for all of us. We're also bringing in Bishop Athanasius Snyder, who's been on our show many, many times. I'm going to take a clip from a video over the weekend he did, and it's a tough question he answered. Wait till you hear the question. You'll want to hear that. Also, Jess, we're going to be talking about learning to offer up our sacrifices. I have a story to tell about Cardinal Pell, who spent quite a bit of time in prison, and how someone offered sacrifices for him, their very life. Wait till you hear that story. And much, much more. But before we get to all of it, we always give our best first, our first step, which is our soul food, the gospel for the today's reading at Holy Mass. So, Jess, read it, bro. Yeah, go for it.
Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Mark chapter 8, verses 14 to 21. Mm-hmm. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. Jesus enjoined them, watch out, guard against the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Mm-hmm. That's going to be key. I'm going to explain that. That's key right there. They concluded amongst themselves that it was because they had no bread. When he became aware of this, he said to them, why do you conclude that it is because you have no bread? Do you not yet understand or comprehend? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes and not see, ears and not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many wicker baskets full of fragments you picked up? They answered, 12. When I broke the seven loaves for the 4,000, how many full baskets of fragments did you pick up? They answered him, 7. He said to them, do you still not understand the gospel of the Lord?
Praise to you, Lord Jesus. I'm smiling, Jesse, that last comment. Do you still not understand?
That's right. Here's what's going on here. Again, our Lord Jesus Christ, he's just performed miracles. And you know, the Pharisees, they're the deep state. They're the establishment. And they're like, they want like miracles on demand, like entertain us. We want another miracle. And, you know, Jesus is saying, man, you know what? A sinful generation doesn't need miracles. I'm not going to give you guys a sign to entertain you. But then he goes on to start speaking specifically about the deep state here. Mm-hmm. And notice who he's talking about. The Pharisees. Okay. Those are the religious leaders and the leaven of Herod. Those are the political leaders. So religion and politics are merged here. That's the deep state at the time of Christ. And what does he say? He tells the people, watch out, guard against the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. So watch out for the rhetoric of the deep state in the religion, and watch out for the deep state in the religion of politics. What does he mean by that? Okay. Well, let's go back to cooking. What does leaven do? Leaven permeates and it makes bread rise. It expands bread. So our Lord is warning the disciples, his simple followers, that the Pharisees' teachings and the teachings of the government of King Herod, They're exerting what? A corrupting influence on society. That's what he's talking about. Jesus is not interested in just walking around and being a miracle worker, though he did that. He's concerned with purity of doctrine. And what the Pharisees and King Herod are doing is, once again, they're taking some of the Word of God and injecting it with their human tradition. That's what he calls the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. They're corrupting the purity of God's Word, like many people today in politics and in our faith are corrupting the purity of our Catholic faith as well, the purity of doctrine, Terry.
Well said, Jesse. Hey, let's bring the smartest guy into the room right now. Full sheen ahead. Just Lent starts tomorrow, and I know we have a teaser. Just everybody should know Lent, you know, penance this year, expand beyond atoning for our sins to the whole world. We have a great article on atonement. Now, here's what Bishop Sheen says about the crucifixion. He says, the cross is not something that has happened. The crucifixion is something that is happening. It can be found in any place, at any hour, in the human race. Mm. For it is the epic struggle of forces of good and evil. Just that quote I got from Bishop Sheen today just set the stage for life. I mean, that's why you can say, and we're going to talk about redemptive suffering later, that it is so important to be able to understand redemptive suffering and offering up your own sacrifices, because nobody gets out alive. Last time I looked, we're going to face it. And if we face it living in the state of grace, we get to heaven. If we don't, we don't. I mean, that's as simple as we can say it. So anyhow, we're going to cover that later in the show. Just before we get into all of our topics, Monsignor Harris, who says a Novus Ordo Latin Mass here at our chapel, came up today and said, Terry, I'm getting rid of all my books, so I want to give you something. He gave me a 15-volume of the New Catholic Encyclopedia. On the market, it sells for $500. I said, Monsignor, are you okay if I just auction it off and if one of our listeners wants to get the encyclopedia? Now, I understand, Jess, people do everything online, but you know what? Can you foresee a time where you might not be able to get online? I do. Mm. That's where books, I love books because I know I can get to them whether the internet connection is made or not. So it's a $500 value. I'm asking $400 so people can get $100 off, but you have to pick them up here in Covina because shipping them is going to cost an arm and a leg. So if anybody wants this new encyclopedia, it's mint condition, 15 volumes, probably weighs about, if all the books, probably about 60 pounds, 80 pounds. Call 877-526-2151. Anthony or Trish will help you. And if you call after this show, call me on my cell, 661-972-7872. That's what I'd like to do, and it helps us here at Virgin Most Powerful. And if you're a nutty, you know, you're a bookworm, you probably would love to have this encyclopedia, but be prepared. It's going to take half your bookshelf. All right, Jess, it's back to you.
That's right. And Terry, let's remember, I want to mention just a few things before we get into the topics on Father Billy Costco, who's going to unload one of the most powerful pro-abortion sermons in the Catholic Church that I've ever heard.
Yep, me too.
But just a couple things, one of those did you know items.
Yeah.
Did you guys know that Trump has been acquitted again? Okay, so the Senate voted to acquit former President Donald Trump of the charges that he incited these attacks on January 6th at the U.S. Capitol. So that's good news. Again, I think that President Trump lives in the head of a lot of these Democrats. This is called Trump derangement syndrome. Here's something else, Terry, is very interesting. Trump's lawyer, Michael Van Der Veen, he was on CBS News with Lena Zak, and he called her out. It was awesome. He called her out for doctoring up, you know, the fact that the Democrats doctored some of the evidence for the impeachment. And Van Der Veen told her, he said, quote, what I'm telling you is that they doctored evidence, and I believe your question says, well, it's only a Twitter check and changing a year of date here and there. And he goes, so they switched the date of a Twitter a year to try to connect it to this case. He called them out on it. That's not a small thing, Terry.
No.
Also, another thing, we've just found out that the Capitol police officer, Brian Sitnick, who passed away.
Yep.
We found out, Terry, that you know, they said that it was a Trump supporter that killed him in the head of the fire extinguisher. Well, they found out that that was fake news. The newspapers now revised the story to state that the experts have said that he did not die, not of blunt force trauma, and new information has emerged as to how Brian Sitnik died. So the initial cause that he was hit with a fire extinguisher by a Trump supporter, that's been shown to be fake news. Also, Terry, Minneapolis City Council, here's what's interesting, is they've reversed the course, and now they've unanimously approved $6.4 million to hire dozens of police officers, and the move comes after the city has experienced a spike in violent crime, do you think?
I can't believe it. That's shocking.
So in December, the council that voted to remove $8 million of police funding, they've now moved to reinstate $6.4 million to hire dozens of police officers because the city is out of control.
Amazing, Jesse, amazing. We're going to come back with Father Billy's homily. Now, this is a 30-minute homily. We're going to tell you how to get it from our link. But I just want to play a part because when I set the stage of who this priest is and what he's saying, it's going to hit you right between the eyes. Now, we're not here to make you feel comfortable, Jess, as you know. We're not here to make our listeners feel comfortable. We're here to make you uncomfortable so that you fall deep in love with Jesus and say, hey, I'm going to repent and turn away from sin and get to heaven. That's what we do here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. When we come back, Father Billy will take a section of his homily and you'll say, wow, that's the kind of priest I wish was at my parish. Hey, you're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We'll be right back with more to inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and His Church.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
As your baseball coach told you once upon a time, before you die, leave it all out in the field.
That's it.
Absolutely. That's what we want to do, Terry. We want to leave it all out in the field. Talk about somebody leaving it out in the field. I want you to hear a Catholic priest here in the Phoenix Diocese of Arizona. He delivered an incredible homily against abortion to his parishioners last Sunday, telling them that if you're pro-abortion, I'm tempted to ask you to leave St. Henry's Parish. And to leave this parish, Mr. Engineer, can you play the clip from Father Billy Costello?
And Jesse, before he plays the clip, if I could just add one more thought, because it's a 30-minute homily, and I want people to go to the link and watch it all. But he makes an incredible connection. He was in Auschwitz in 1993, and when you hear the story on a bus where he had to defend a woman that was attempted rape on the bus, man, you got to hear what this priest did. And then he makes the connection being in Auschwitz and seeing what was going on, that the Auschwitz town was only 2 miles away from the death camp. And in July of 1944, it started to snow in Poland and in Germany there, or Poland, excuse me, Poland.
Yep.
And the flakes of snow had the
They were the ashes of
the ashes of the people.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The ashes of the people that were in the crematorium. And he's saying to himself, how could people allow that to happen in Poland? And then he makes a connection about abortion. You can't miss it. So I just want you to make sure you listen to the whole homily, because this is the most passionate priest on a pro-life that I've ever heard. Mr. Engineer, play that clip.
Yes. And on top of that, we've just recently elected a Catholic president, and he is Catholic. He's baptized. He is a member of the family. We've just elected a Catholic president who is diametrically opposed to all of the basic moral principles that are proclaimed by the Roman Catholic Church. Not only abortion and the sanctity of human life, but the sanctity of marriage and this gender silliness. How in the world did that happen? A Catholic. I'll tell you, if he wasn't Catholic, I probably wouldn't be so upset. He's a member of my family. He's the most powerful man in the world. And he is absolutely opposed to the basic understandings that God is the author of life. How in the world did this happen? You want an answer? I'll tell you the answer. Because our bishops have been silent for 60 years through bad catechesis and cowardice. They have barely said a thing. A few papers here and there. They speak of, there's things they could do. You say, well, why don't you do something? I'm just a little diocesan priest. I'm a grunt. They're the apostles. They have the voice. I just work for them at their privilege. They can get rid of me tomorrow.
Wow.
Wow. How have they allowed this to happen? What is it that they really believe? How poorly have they educated you? Good Lord. Can you imagine if in 2012, Mitt Romney, who was running for president, Mitt Romney, who was a Mormon, a member of the LDS Church, when he was running against President Barack Obama, if he were a cigar-smoking, whiskey-drinking, coffee-drinking Mormon, can you imagine if he had won the presidency? The Mormon Church would have gone apoplectic. This is not a representation of us. They just would have said, oh, no. No, don't look at him. He does not represent what we believe. Probably would have excommunicated him. But what do our bishops do?
Wow. I'm on the edge. Jess, every time I hear the whole thing, this guy had me. I'm like, I've been telling all my friends about this priest. I said, Jesse, do you know him? And Jess says, yeah, I know. He likes us. No surprise, Jess. He preaches like we do.
He's invited me to his parish a few times. He loves me to pieces. His name's Father William Costco. They call him Father Billy Costco. He's in Buckeye, Arizona. Terry, I'll be honest with you. This is kind of what I've seen. I've been here 5 years in this diocese.
Yeah.
This is the caliber of pastor under Bishop Olmsted in 17 years.
Yeah.
Father Billy Costco is basically the type of pastor that Bishop Olmsted has installed in all the parishes that I've been to.
Yeah.
And so what he's done, because he's got 10 months left, so a lot of us here in the Phoenix Diocese were like, oh, no. But I've talked to a lot of priests, like Father Billy, my pastor, a lot of them. They built Bishop Olmsted has built a firewall in this diocese. Whoever comes over here and tries to start promoting Modernism 101, they're going to be in for the fight of their life because every pastor that I've met is just like him.
Yeah.
And again, a lot of Catholics that move from California move to Buckeye because there's a lot of desert out there. And so he's at St. Henry's Parish. Terry, he talked about being a young man in the U.S. Peace Corps.
That's right.
He attended this conference in Krakow, Poland,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which he says was about 47 miles from Auschwitz. And, you know, it's a horrific story the way he shares.
Oh, God.
That they were able to see in July. He says in July it started snowing. But, yeah, he knows it wasn't snow. It never snows in July anywhere. And the snow that was falling, he says it was the ashes from the crematoriums that were working overtime burning the bodies of the murdered dead Jewish people.
That's powerful.
At that point, you know, he starts challenging people and he starts saying, how could people have tolerated this? They knew about this. He says, come on, people knew about the boxcars, you know, with people in them and not coming back. He says that happened 30 years ago when he was a young man, but now he makes a connection. He goes, now it's snowing with ashes in America of the innocent unborn.
Right.
And I'm telling you, Terry, he has no qualms about calling out Job. I mean, he says he's a kid. He goes, he's part of the family of God. He's baptized.
Yep.
But he puts it out there. He goes, he's diametrically opposed to all the basic moral principles proclaimed by the Roman Catholic Church. And not only on abortion, but he's also performed himself homosexual marriages. Now he's performing this gender silliness, pushing it, Terry, especially in the military.
Yeah.
And Father Billy Casco, he says, who does he blame? Well, we've been saying this a long time, Terry. He says, I blame the U.S. bishops because they've been silent for 60 years. And we've been getting bad catechesis and we've been seeing cowardness. You know, he goes, yeah, they put out a few papers every now and then, but they've done very little to halt the current situation of nearly 1 million babies being killed. The U.S. bishops could stop this tomorrow, Terry. If all of them said, you are excommunicated for the Catholic Church, verbally and in letter and publicly, for advocating for the death of innocent babies called abortion. If the USCCB would do that, Terry, it would be like the Pope confronting, was it Genghis Khan or Attila the Hun? It makes them stop in their tracks, even these evil men and these evil barbarians, because when they start thinking, wow, this guy has authority and he's excommunicating me, that means if I die in this condition, I can go to hell. I'll tell you, I think this would shock the intellect and the heart of Joe Biden to the point where he may even have a conversion. But again, we need a thunderous voice like a Pope Gregory the Great or a Pope Leo the 13th or a Pope Pius the 10th to stand up to these rogue Catholic politicians, Terry.
And Jesse, he inspired me to stand up for Christ, especially for the unborn. He talks about being on that bus, as I mentioned earlier, where a young American woman was being accosted by a Polish gentleman who was drunk. And I won't tell you the story because I want you to listen to his whole homily. It's powerful. But here's what he said to me, what it said to me. He said, hey, man up. What are you going to do about the killing of unborn babies every day, every year? Thousands and thousands of babies, how many millions of babies we've lost, and we go to work as usual, business as usual. When are we going to stand up for the little ones? That's basically what he's saying to me. And I'm saying, dude, thank you, Father. I need that. You pricked my conscience to stand more up for the little babies because they're dying every day. And we're like, he made the analogy. Well, you say, how did those people put up with the crematoriums and not say anything and just can the same way that we're staying quiet about abortion? Do you remember how I had last week, Jesse, a funeral here and the people wanted me to take the sign down, 40 days for life, prayed into abortion? That offends me. And I could have said, oh, well, man, you're a paying customer. Come on. We'll take this. We'll do whatever you say. I said, heck no. I said, the sign stays. I said, we have to stand up for life. That's what we believe. And the mortuary guy goes, you mean you're not going to take the sign down? I said, no. We got to stand up for life. And you know what the guy said after I talked to him, Jess? This is the funny part. He says, yeah, I didn't. I guess we have to, even if it costs us money. I said, yeah, that's right. Even if it costs us our life, we have to stand up for life because, dude, you see death every day here. You're in the business. One day we're going to have an exit interview and we're going to have to defend our position on our life, on what life we lived. And the guy goes, oh, man, now you're really making me feel uncomfortable. I said, good. See, this is what this priest inspires us to do. Stand up and not be quiet. I mean, to be quiet and amongst a slaughter of innocent children, we participate in that by our quietness. Jess, want to say you're blessed to have him in your diocese. And I'm going to ask him to come on the Bishop Strickland Hour did with Father Altman. If you remember, I brought him on the Bishop Strickland Hour. So this is the kind of priest that we need in the church. As Monsignor George Kelly said back in 1979, where's the church going? Where its leaders take them. That man, I would follow him into battle, Jess.
Yeah, he's got an incredible reputation out here. He inspires other priests as well. And I'll tell you, Terry, Catholics are just so poorly formed.
Yeah, they are.
In the church's teachings. And the same with Joe Biden and, Nancy Pelosi. They're poorly formed post-Vatican II Catholics.
Yep.
And what we would call low information Catholics.
That's right.
And as a result of that, they actually think that you can be a Catholic and you can dissent with the official teachings of the church.
Yeah.
They actually believe that.
They do.
They believe in the Kennedy, John F. Kennedy principle of Catholicism, that you can be a Catholic in good standing and dissent with it. You can't, Terry.
Nope.
This isn't Baskin Robbins or Burger King. 31 flavors, or have it your way. And they're going to be very surprised, Terry, because in order to get to heaven, you must embrace truth.
Yep.
Like a pit bull embraces a piece of red meat, and you can't let it go. A lot of these Catholic politicians, Terry, they don't embrace truth. They embrace situation ethics, moral relativism, values clarification, whatever feels good for me,
yep.
Whatever's politically expedient. Boy, oh boy, are they going to be surprised at their exit interview if they don't repent.
Hey, up next, the great Bishop Athanasius Schneider. Wow, wait till you hear what he has to say about a question regarding COVID-19 here on the Terry and Jesse Show. We'll be back with much more on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Radio.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
You're going to listen now to Bishop Athanasius Schneider as he talks on the COVID vaccine. It's just a short clip. It's 3 minutes. But if you want to hear absolute moral clarity, listen up, Mr. Engineer. Can you play the clip?
It's from a nurse. She writes, I work as a nurse and will have to give the COVID vaccine for my job. But I know that I can't conscientiously give it to anyone because the vaccine that we have to administer, the one they're using, uses the fetal cell line that came from abortion. Your Excellency, what should I do? That's a very good question.
You cannot give this vaccine in any case. This is impossible. How can you collaborate with such a heinous crime, the murdering of a child, even if one child only was murdered, and this child was murdered cruelly, abortion. And then, because of this cruel murder of an innocent child, this is the only case that there was then after develop this vaccine, even if it's remoted. So your participation, it is even technically a material cooperation, but in this case, even if it is evil, also this cooperation, even if it is material, it is evil, because in some way you are entering these horrible concatenations, which started with a crime, a heinous crime. And this is incomparable with all other so-called cooperations in which we are living, or it is incomparable with all other cases of so-called benefiting from some bad actions. This is proportionally impossible. This is so an extraordinary, monstrous crime, and in the context in which we live, of a everyday increasing abortion industry and an everyday increasing technology of fatal technology, which is ultimately a kind of cannibalism. This is cannibalism. Lastly, we have to say the things by their name. We have not to make an euphemisms. This is cannibalism, ultimately. And when your conscience says to you, this is bad, you cannot follow against your conscience. You have to be ready to lose all earthly things rather than to commit something against your conscience.
Wow, Christ or chaos. Wow, what a commitment.
Talk about somebody who speaks with apostolic authority, Terry.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I, for one, here's my take.
Tell me.
I'm not going to let a godless, Democrat, communist government stick my arm with an experimental vaccine. Here's number one. Terry, we don't know the side effects, okay? But we do know this. It was manufactured by for-profit big pharma companies that, guess what? They can't be sued if you die.
That's right.
Or if you get sick. fatally. You can't sue them. Very interesting. Also, it looks like they want to use us as their guinea pig.
Yeah.
And as you know, this whole current communist Wuhan virus, scamdemic, of course, it's creating a lot of concerns and confusion amongst even pro-life people. People are asking about whether or not they should accept the vaccines that were approved. Check how fast they were approved. Less than a year, Terry.
Yeah.
They call it Operation Warp Speed. Okay. We don't even have a vaccine for AIDS or cancer. That's been around for decades now. And we're supposed to trust something that was fast-tracked in less than a year. They even call it Operation Warp Speed. And I'll be honest with you. I don't blame President Trump on this because they had him between a rock and a hard place. Essentially what they did is Dr. Fauci and the medical advisors, they're guilty, Terry, of medical malpractice because he's not a doctor. He just was basically saying, okay, all right, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Okay, that's medical malpractice, what we essentially saw. But I don't trust this vaccine, experimental vaccine. We still don't know the side effects. That's been fast-tracked. Again, they call it, I'm not making this up, they call it Operation Warp Speed. But besides the potential safety concerns that a lot of us have as people of faith and pro-lifers, stemming from the manner in which these vaccines were developed and approved, but we've also heard from many, many pro-life individuals who just like Bishop Athanasius Snyder, were objecting to the use of the aborted fetal cells that were utilized in either development or testing of several of the current vaccines. And what we want is an ethical alternative, Terry, where there is no connection, no contact with embryonic aborted fetal cells.
Well said. And Jesse, one more thing you just missed a little, and that was with Fauci and Bill Gates. They're into making millions of dollars on these vaccines. So, and it's, to me, it seems like it's it shouldn't be. They have an interest in the vaccine to make money, and they shouldn't be in a position to be promoting it because of their money situation. Also, just what I want to say about many, we work with a lot of mortuaries here. As you know, we have 25, 30 funerals a month here. And it's interesting, the funeral industry is gearing up. They said, wait till you see, this is what the guy told me, once everybody's vaccinated, you're going to find out people are going to have effects that are going to kill people in the future, 6 months to a year. You'll see that our business is booming. He said, I just bought another car to carry bodies because I know I'm going to be so busy because the vaccine that they're giving people, many people are going to have allergic reactions and they're not going to have the medical attention and they're going to go into problems and then die. And it's going to stimulate the industry of the funeral business. And so I only say this, I thought, isn't it interesting that the funeral business even realizes that these vaccines are going to bring lots of business and they're buying more cars, more, hearse to carry more bodies because they realize that this is going to be a big business for them. So anyhow, Jess,
I'm going to back up what you just said right now. I'm looking at an article. It says the CDC, and this is the government arm. Okay, yeah. These are the ones that try to
Center
withhold
information.
Yeah. Yep. It says CDC withholding information.
Yeah.
1,170 dead following COVID injections. Almost twice as many deaths as found in VAERS, V-A-E-R-S. That's another organization that's supposed to be called vaccine something. It's an organization that's tracking how many people are getting sick and dying. The CDC has twice as many as VAERS is putting out. CDC also put out another one. It says 653 deaths now recorded following the experimental mRNA COVID injections with 12,697 reported injuries. Terry, I'm telling you that the funeral business is going to be booming.
Yep.
And I'm looking at another article here from Church Militant. It says, Oxford recruits kids as vaccine lab rats. Oh. So they're going after kids. And here's another one. Vaccine shaming, it blitz targets minority communities. So they're really pressing the Latinos and Blacks and Asians that, you know, if you don't get this vaccine, you know, it's un-American and you're going to kill people. So they're targeting the low information minorities by vaccine shaming. Terry, this is horrible.
Yeah, so much disinformation. I saw on LifeSite News, they got another one about people who don't wear masks and people that wear masks. No difference on getting the COVID-19. You know, so more and more of this is coming out. That's why in Iowa, the governor took a common sense approach and said, you want to wear a mask, Jesse? Go ahead, Terry. You don't want to wear a mask? I don't. So the whole state doesn't have to wear masks. Why? Because they said
doesn't work.
It doesn't work. Right. And let's just be real. Stop playing games with me, especially when it comes to my life and my lifestyle of being able to not move where I want to move. It just seems to me, Jesse, that this is really restrictive in so many ways, especially when it comes to going to church. Are you kidding me? We're not going to stop going to church because the potential that we might get sick. Are you kidding me? You're going to stop living because you're afraid of dying? This is what fear has done, Jesse. In a year, they built us up that we're so scared that COVID, and then think about the statistic. 99.5% of the people who get COVID-19 survive. What? Is this microphone on? That's just the facts from the CDC. But you know what the impression is? Oh, if you get it, you're dying. I've had so many of my friends say, my wife won't go out of the house because she said, if I get the vaccine, if I get COVID, I'm dead. Well, because he watches the news. Shut the TV off. Go ahead, Jess.
Yeah. Dr. Fauci, he's targeting kids, Terry.
Yep. Well, he's got money in it. He's going to make money doing that.
Exactly. He just said the other day that kids need to get vaccinated to get herd community. Again, he's invested millions of dollars in these vaccines. It's a well-known fact.
Gates, too.
Bill Gates. Both of them are. And that's why. Here's something interesting, Terry. Every time I ever see Bill Gates on television, he never wears a mask in public.
No.
Okay. Yet his cabal insists. And even wants to, put people in jail for not wearing masks. I'm going to tell you, Terry, you've got to turn off the mainstream media.
Yeah.
You can't trust the disinformation any longer.
When we come back, let's talk about redemptive suffering. Colossians chapter 1. I fill up with lacking in the sufferings of Christ. What's that all about? When we come back, we'll tell you.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
St. Maximilian Kolbe says there are three stages of life. First, you got formation, number one. Probably the midpoint of your life, you've got what's called the apostolate, your apostolic work. And then at the end of your life, you enter into the ministry of suffering. We're not going to get away with it. Because God whispers to us in our pleasures, he speaks to us in our joy, and he shouts to us in our suffering. Great article by Father Edward Broom talks about the value of suffering. He says, of immense value for the human person in the eyes of God is that of suffering. However, suffering in and of itself, separated from a supernatural perspective, has no real value. If you like, suffering makes us better or bitter. And then he quotes, Terry, this is powerful.
This is good.
That he quotes the diary of Saint Faustina.
Oh, yeah.
He says, and he talks about the way angels look down on humanity. He says, the angels viewing the human person with a holy envy for two reasons. First, the human person is capable of receiving the incredible gift of the Most Holy Eucharist, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus in Holy Communion. The angels in heaven will never have this extraordinary privilege. Also, the angels cannot suffer.
Right.
The angels understand that suffering, if viewed and accepted properly, has infinite value and can be most pleasing to God. In fact, Jesus, the incarnate Word, chose the path of suffering as the means by which the salvation of the world would be consummated. Terry?
Yes, I just want to give a story. This is a book by Father Cardinal George Pell, Prison Journey. We talk about the power of redemptive suffering. On page 229 of his book, printed by Ignatius Press, the Cardinal said he had a lot of letters from English-speaking priests offering prayers and sometimes fasting and penance for the success of his trial, that he would be determined being innocent. Well, one fine young man, a student from Redford College in North Sydney, he tragically died from cancer, told his priest that his brother, that he was offering his suffering, his death agony, for Cardinal Pell's cause. He says, Cardinal Pell says, I suppose this is one example of a high mountain too high to cross, which impedes the clouds and produces torrent rains. In other words, redemptive suffering. That man gave his life up with his suffering for cancer for the success of Cardinal Pell. I got to believe Cardinal Pell would have been in tears reading that letter from that man. But this is the power of redemptive suffering. Remember, Jesse, Our Lady of Fatima said it. Souls are going to hell because no one's there to pray and what? Make sacrifices for them. That's why every action is like a blank check. If Christ's name is on it, it has infinite value. So we really have to focus on redemptive suffering, because you know what my greatest suffering right now is? Seeing our Catholic Church suffer from lack of direction, lack of clarity on its teachings. That's a great suffering for me, because I know what the Church teaches. And when I see guys dressed as priests, bishops, and they're not teaching the Catholic faith, just that's suffering for me.
Yeah, same here, Terry. I think we both share in that suffering. And again, our suffering's united to God.
Yep.
It's meritorious. It helps people in the mystical body of Christ.
Yep.
That's what Colossians 1:24 says.
Yeah.
It says, quote, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I complete what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church," close quote. So let's take a look at that phrase, what is lacking, okay? Now, some people may say, if that wasn't in the Bible, you'd say that's heresy. Nothing's lacking in the sufferings of Christ. That's heresy. But you can't say that because it's in the Bible. And so Protestants don't know what to do with those three words.
They don't.
What is lacking? Well, what is lacking, according to Catholic exegesis, is that the suffering that's lacking is the suffering that remains for the believers, us, in the trials of life. Suffering is a mission for all the faithful as a means of conforming ourselves to Jesus Christ, as it says in Romans 8:17. Conform yourself to Christ. You conform yourself through suffering. And so these words in Colossians 1:24 could be misunderstood, and they are misunderstood by Protestants, that the suffering of Christ was not sufficient for redemption and that the suffering of the saints must be added to complete it. But this, again, this is not the Catholic position. This would be heretical, because Christ and the church are one mystical person. So while the merits of Christ are infinite and the saints acquire merit to a limited degree, because we're not infinite, but what is lacking then pertains to the afflictions of the entire church, to which Paul adds his own sufferings. So what is lacking? God wants us to join our sufferings to the cross of Christ. That's what we mean in Catholicism when we say offer it up. It means that when some type of suffering, some form of suffering is being visited upon you, it's of enormous importance to, number one, accept the suffering, and then number two, and give that suffering to the providential hands of God. And remember, when you give it up to God, it makes you better. When you don't give it to God, it makes you bitter. You want to be better or bitter.
Well,
suffering can either save our souls or it could be wasted pain, Terry.
And remember what Fulton Sheen said at the beginning of our show. The cross is not something that has happened. The crucifixion is something that is happening. In other words, every time we have a disappointment, we can say, oh, well, I'll do better next time. Or say, I offer that suffering in union with the sufferings of Christ to help redeem the world. And again, Jess, when that attitude takes place, where you can understand suffering from that perspective, it makes, like, for example, hospitals become atomic power plants. Because all these people can suffer in union with Jesus to help redeem the world. I'll give you, Jesse, just, I know this story you've told 100 times, but your father's story about suffering and Father Hardin, remember when, I'll just give the Father Hardin one. Yeah. Father John Hardin was on his deathbed and they wanted to give him medication. And he said, no, more, more suffering. I need to pray for the church. It needs prayers. And Father Hardin died yelling out, more, more. And now, Jess, I don't know if that's pretty heroic, dude.
Yeah, my father basically did the same thing as he was dying of cancer the last couple of days.
Yeah.
He says, I don't want no morphine, no colding, no nothing. He goes, I want to offer this suffering up. I know I have a few days left. I want to offer this pain up for the salvation of my family, for the reparation and atonement of my sins and all those in my family. And so my dad just grinded it out.
Wow.
Like the last few days of cancer. Dr. Dan Schneider calls that type of Catholic, he calls it smash mouth Catholicism.
I love it.
Where you just like grind it out in pain and prayer and penance. But again, he understood. I mean, as somebody who was taught that old time religion, he understood that phrase, offer it up. And again, as a Catholic, let's not forget that even the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He entered into an incredible time of suffering. It says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 and 9 about Jesus. It says this, in the days when he, Jesus, was in the flesh, he offered prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one, God the Father, who was able to save him from death. And he, Jesus, was heard because of his reverence. Son though he was, he, Jesus, learned obedience from what he, Jesus, suffered. And when he, Jesus, was made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Look at the good that was caused by the suffering of the Son of God. Remember, the Son of God could not suffer before he took on a body. He had what's called impassibility. God can't suffer. But once he took on a body, he did so that he can suffer and redeem the world through that body that was given to him by the Blessed Virgin Mary. And again, we enter into the suffering of Christ when we make an act of the will and say, Lord, I offer this pain up to you.
Jesse, without Good Friday, there's no Easter Sunday. The Stations of the Cross, I try to do it. Well, I do it every day. And the ones at our chapel are beautiful, but I want to recommend also St. John Paul II in 1993 has some powerful meditations on the Stations of the Cross. So I just want to encourage you to do your meditation on the sufferings. You know, there's an old saint from St. Francis Liguori saying that if you meditate on the passions of Christ on a regular basis, that this will prevent you from living in mortal sin. Isn't that interesting, Jeff? And here's another quote for tomorrow. We're going to be talking about Lent. It's Ash Wednesday. We're going to be talking about expanding our atoning, our, you know, atonement for sin, because every Thursday here at Sacred Heart Chapel, that's what we do. We get down on our knees for 2 hours and we pray for priests, we pray for bishops and the Holy Father, but we make expiation. We offer our sacrifice every Thursday because that's the day, Thursday, the Passion of Christ started. We call it Holy Triduum. So if I want to ask you to do something, it's meditate maybe for the whole month on the sorrowful mysteries. I think, Jesse, you made that suggestion for the
month. For the whole month, because the month of February is supposed to focus on the passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen, brother.
Terry, and I'll tell you, when people die and God, you know, please God, they make it to heaven because they die in a state of grace. In heaven, the Lord is going to reveal to you in heaven all the good that was caused by your suffering that you offered up to God in this life. God's going to show you the people that you ended up blessing, saving, converting, healing from illness, delivering from demons as a result of your suffering that you offered to God, and you merited grace for them, and he distributed that grace to their soul.
Wow, that is powerful. And that's what the saints have told us, that at our death we will have that. It's called an exit interview in our modern language, but its bottom line is we meet God. And you know, I told people this the other day, Jess, that living life without God is boring. You know why, Jess? Because a person that doesn't live with God is boring because they have no view of life after death. And so I want to encourage everybody, this is Lent coming up tomorrow. Think about what you can offer to make a sacrifice, whether it's your own life or the life of others. But think about this. What can I do that's going to help me find myself to become closer to Jesus Christ this Lent? Do I need to give up maybe criticizing, maybe doing X, whatever it is, with my wife, my husband, or my kids? There's something that you could think about that will great make you a holier man at the end of Lent. That's my take. Yes.
Amen. We serve the Blessed Virgin Mary, a 12-star general. Pray the rosary every day. Read the Holy Bible every day. By doing so, you drive demons away from your house, your family. Let's unite our prayers to the heels of our Blessed Mother. Let's unite our prayers to the sword of St. Michael and continue delivering powerful blows to the kingdom of darkness. Terry.
Hey, I want to say something. Faith is not a leap in the dark. It's being bathed in divine light. Yeah, you got that one. The Holy Eucharist. Think about this. Is the kingdom of God coming down from heaven. The kingdom is everything Jesus won for us on Calvary. And I want to just say, sign me up to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It makes life worth living. May God richly bless you and your family. Up next, we have the next show for Life.